Energy episode of Binary Jazz, or what we like to call Binary Jazz Coin, where we talk about all the stocks that we're gonna just invest in, that all the crappy stocks we're gonna invest in, and stick it to the hedge fund investors and Wall Street bros.
Did you all get in on any of that action this week?
No.
Okay.
I thought about it for half a second, but.
Oh, I did. I absolutely did.
I was too busy doing my job, Gary.
Oh, yeah. I definitely did some of that this week too. But I don't know. Like Tuesday night, it was pretty clear. Like, well, this seems like a, was it Tuesday night? I think.
Time is an illusion.
Mm. Yeah. God, that's the truth. Whatever night it was pretty clear. Like, oh, this will be fun. I'll buy some GME tomorrow. And in addition, there are some other stocks that were being shorted that were in the conversations, like Nokia and
AMC.
I didn't dabble with AMC at all, actually. So did a little bit of GME, Nokia.
But did you put all of your money in Dogecoin?
I put $100 in Dogecoin, and I walked away. I absolutely day traded. I went in the morning, and by afternoon I'm like, nah. I'm not part of the revolution. I'm gonna take this cash and walk away. So,
not part of the revolution.
A couple $100, not a bad day's work for not having a damn clue. But like, well, this trend seems fine. I'm willing to lose this much money. I'll put this much in. Fine. It was all right. I mean, it was fun, silly. I don't day trade, so I just put that money back into an index fund where it came from. Wee. And now I have an opinion on short-term capital gains.
You do?
No, not really. No, I don't. I don't. I think they should be higher. That's my opinion.
Hot rich. Take.
Hot take.
Yeah. Yeah. Eat the rich.
Well,
I'm having difficulty telling one day from the next. So much so that earlier this week, I was like, maybe I'll shave the side of my head. And then I was just like, do I actually want to do that, or am I just trying to break up time? Because then it'll be like, oh yeah, I shaved my head in January. Like, it'll be like a way of figuring out what day it is. I don't know. As you can see, my head is not shaved, so I got through it for now.
Wait, you're gonna shave your whole head, or just
I'm confused. Just part of it, like kind of like a side cut
underneath. Okay. Yeah. Okay. My hair is getting really long, and I don't know what to do about it.
That's the conundrum, because I'm just like, why, if not now, then when? My hairdresser can't yell at me. I'm bored.
I might go ahead and just let it go, you know, because
every time my hair gets long enough, every time my hair gets long enough to that I feel like I need to shave it. And I let it get longer this last time than I have in a while, because it's winter and I'm less motivated. And also in the winter, I kind of like, oh, like having fur on my head might be nice, you know, because it's cold.
That's smart, yeah.
It doesn't help at all, because it's not enough. But every time I'm shaving my head, I always do this thing where like I shave it and I leave the middle just to see if this time maybe the mohawk would look okay.
Yeah.
The answer is never yes.
Oh,
because the mohawk really doesn't start until like the middle of my head. Like the top of my head is where the mohawk would start. So it's gotcha. Never yes.
I mean, it's a choice.
maybe that's what I should do. I should go for the mohawk with like a slat right in the middle where my headphones go, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
I'm just gonna keep it growing long and see what happens.
Just go full hippie.
When I had a mohawk once upon a time. I had long hair, and then when I graduated college, I shaved everything except the mohawk. I didn't spike it or anything, but I just had like a strip down the middle.
Yeah,
It was really long, and I liked it a lot. And then I decided that I needed to cut it because I needed to get a job. And then once I cut it, I realized that like my hairline's like way back to here, and I should never have hair again.
I'd like to go blue, like this color blue on my shirt, on my hair. I think that would be nice.
Yeah, you need to bleach it.
You have a job. What are you worried about?
I don't talk to people. I mean, I talk to people. I don't talk to customers.
Wait for Rhonda to be mad at me.
I think she'd be okay with it.
I'm who told you that this was okay?
I would dye my hair blue if I could.
This, I shaved on, I don't know, one day this week, maybe Tuesday, when I was pondering whether I should purchase stocks or whatever, stonks. And it was really like, it's really getting gray in here when it's grown out. So I'm like, I'm going to grow a beard. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to look like a hermit if I grow a beard.
you might look older.
I don't know that I want that. I want to slow down time.
My dad sent a video. So my son got his wisdom tooth removed yesterday. One of them. My dad sent a video that was like about him getting his wisdom tooth removed. And it was the first time that I have seen, I think, my dad's face close up. I mean, it's been, you know, a year since we've seen them in person. And outside of like a Zoom window. So it was the first time that I saw his face, and like, man, he looks older than I remember. And that was really weird. That was really, really weird. And then I wonder how I look.
You're like, wait a minute, time is moving.
I haven't aged since I was like 30, so. Except the hair, except the hair just keeps going away.
I feel like I looked older to begin with, and so now I'm finally like easing in up. To that. Some might say it's because I'm a Capricorn.
Some people call me Maurice.
Yeah, some people.
Woo-hoo. I almost got Chris to squirt water out of his nose. And it would have been cartoonish. Like it would have been like erupting. Yeah. Like way more water than he took in would be squirting out his nose. Like two garden hoses.
That's exactly what it would be.
Mm-hmm. Allison, you made it.
We still have stockings up in my background.
I like it.
Nice.
Very the funny nice. Part is that we put all our Christmas decorations away. We forgot the stockings.
Well, not to make you feel too bad, or you shouldn't feel too bad, because I put all the Christmas, the solstice stuff away, but left the jingly bells that we had hanging from the front door. So, I mean, it just became part of the scenery, like, and the door jingles when we open it. Like, we rarely open that door. And then I found a single ornament wire hanger thing. Just one.
We have a 2-foot Christmas tree we leave up year round with ornaments on.
Is that just because you did it one year and then you're like, yeah, we're not going to put this away? Or
it's
is that
because
you're actually celebrating year round?
No, it's intentional. So several years ago on December 23rd, my grandma died real suddenly. And so that really obviously was like the theme of the season. Like, I think like she died on the 23rd. And I think by the 28th, we had the funeral. I mean, it was like the end of just a crappy year. And just like, we had to have the funeral before the end of the year. Like there was no other option. Like the family was just like, you know? And so when we cleaned up after Christmas, two things. One, she had already made Christmas cookies. And so like I metered out Christmas cookies to myself from Christmas until like it was well into January, and Rhonda's like, these are stale, do you still want that? I'm like, I want to eat every single one of these. Yes,
I will be sick on Christmas.
And I would eat one a day and cry and eat a Christmas cookie every day. And then we started cleaning up. We started cleaning up before I finished Christmas cookies, but we started cleaning up, and we were like, let's leave this tree up. You know, because Tyler was really young at the time, and so we left it up that year. And at some point in the conversation, like, when do we want to put it away? We're like we don't especially. Like, it's, so now it stays up. Now it's just a tree that we leave up all year. I mean, it's not huge. It's just on the top of a bookshelf, not like a prominent place. But I guess if you were to come in the house, you'd think like, oh, they missed a Christmas decoration. But no, it's permanently there. It has to be dusted. Yep. Yep.
Remember when people would come to your house?
No, not really. Actually, we didn't do that. I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, if it happened.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. This year, the Christmas cookies at, like, you know, about January 3rd, I'm like, ah, they're good. I've had my fill. Wait, let me get one more. Okay, now I've had my fill. All right, dump them.
Cookies don't last.
Which is also good.
In this house.
I don't remember how many my mom made this year. A lot. We had a lot. And the kids, like, you know, lose interest after like a week, you know, which is, they're just like, yeah, I've tried like two or three of each and I'm good. Now the sugar cookies.
That Charlotte, is such a healthy reaction to a cookie. One that I do not have.
Yeah, exactly.
Me neither. I'm like walking through the kitchen. I'm like, ooh, Christmas cookies. Don't mind if I do, like, you know, for a week. And I
have, as you said, and I was like, lose interest in a cookie?
I know. I don't understand. It's all right, more for me. Like, that's my reaction. Like, that's fine. Whatever. I'm going to eat them. And then there was a point where, like, every cookie has that like point where it gets too dry to be. You can give cookies like a lot of latitude. There's a point where it's like, this is more crumb than cookie at this point. And when you pass that threshold, it's time. But I really go far down that threshold. I definitely.
I don't think the cookies last long enough to get to this threshold that you speak of in my house.
I mean, that's fair as well. That's fair as well.
But also, like, you have to understand.
It takes a lot to get there.
I'm in a one bedroom apartment. So right now I'm approximately like 5 feet away from the kitchen.
The nearest cookie and that is like 7.5 feet close. From me.
Yeah. If there are cookies there, that's like 3 paces.
Yeah. That is one of the nice things about having this office upstairs and separate from the kitchen. When I was in Florida, like the living room was right, you know, it was open floor plan. So I could walk over and reach over the counter and pluck one. And I ate a lot more cookies on a daily basis in Florida.
Well, if we have cookies in the house every time I leave the office, which is probably multiple times per day, I will have a cookie.
Yeah.
Or you're like, I'm out here. Like,
yeah, exactly.
What am I working for if not for a cookie?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, the transition for me is coffee 2 or 3 times, cookies several times, lunch, cookies, and then water in the afternoon.
All this conversation, so, we do not have cookies, so I'm very.
We do. I'm going to have one after this call.
I'm fasting until 10:45 at least, I think.
Oh, what? Like, is that part of like a, like we're an doing, IF thing?
Yeah. We're, yeah.
Yeah. Have you just started that?
I started a couple weeks ago.
How are you finding it?
Meh. I don't eat breakfast anyway, and I often don't eat lunch until like noon or later anyway. So like, it's not that much different for me. It's a lot more different for Erin, but we wanted to do it together. So I don't know that it's doing anything for me, but I might have lost like 0.2 pounds so far. Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to weigh myself again to see if that actually sticks. But she's found it that she doesn't like crave food earlier in the day and doesn't snack as much and is okay with smaller portions. And so
I need the ritual of eating something in the morning, even if it's like a single piece of toast with butter. Like, I need that, you know, thing.
In high school, like, I would have like, you know, something quick and like grab and go. That was like my breakfast. I didn't spend time on breakfast. So sometimes it was like a breakfast bar, or sometimes it was like one of those little like stupid pie things that you get from 7-Eleven, or sometimes it was like,
yes.
Sometimes it was like Pop-Tarts. Yeah.
Yes.
But like I would be like, I'm just like grabbing this on my way out. So I'm not even bothered to put it in the toaster. I'm just, I mean, like, toasted Pop-Tarts, by the way, is the correct way to eat Pop-Tarts. But I was fine with eating them, and sometimes it was just like a, like one of those stupid like breakfast shakes things. So like I was used to not eating things for breakfast for a really long time.
Are your kids big breakfast eaters?
They eat breakfast. They don't necessarily.
I mean, Tyler eats. I mean, it's crazy breakfast time. He's like, well, I'm gonna have a bowl of cereal. I'm gonna have a banana. I'm gonna have a piece of toast with peanut butter. I'm gonna have another bowl of cereal. I'm gonna have whatever other fruit is in for. Like, I mean, he can just. I watch. I'm like, my stomach hurts from all the food you've eaten. I don't understand. But you know, that's just when he's hungry. And then he eats fine at other meals, and they're not picky either eaters. So whatever. But it's just amazing how much he eats. Yeah, in the morning. No, and it's not like he's like ravished. He's just like, oh, a little hungry. It goes a long way.
I'm not a breakfast eater, but my brain needs it, but I don't want to do it.
Oh, I think there's something to that, right? Like, I think that's part of why the ritual for me works, is that like, I don't know that I recall like waking up being like, oh, I'm hungry, but more like I need to go through the process of like banging plates and like opening the fridge and like groggily staring in there, hoping something will speak to me, you know? And then like, by the time I'm sitting down, like, you know, getting some nutrition in me, and like, I start to engage. Oh God, why did I schedule events before breakfast next week?
Well, we have a topic.
We do have a topic. The topic is torpor.
Torpor.
Torpor?
Yeah. T-O-R-P-O-R?
I actually.
Oh, no. You know what this is?
I was like, this is the day. I felt like this was the day.
I actually think I do know what torpor is. Okay. I'll let Gary go first.
It's a kind of switch for a keyboard.
Like the.
Torpor switches.
Oh, I was
kidding. Thinking, it's not. It's.
I was thinking no, like a keyboard layout, like.
No, it's like below the key, the switch that, you know, if you buy like a mechanical keyboard, you can buy like a.
Little torpor switch.
Torpor switch instead of a Cherry MX switch. Yeah. Yeah. Quieter.
So.
Is torpor a measurement of.
No.
Hydration. I think it's a measurement of hydration, how hydrated you are.
Sure.
Three torpors?
Huh?
Three torpors?
I don't think it's units. I think it's just like a.
Well, then how can it be a measurement if it's not a unit?
Well, take his torpor. Will you check his torpor? Torpor?
I see.
Yeah, it's sufficient. It's a binary. It's a pass or fail test. It's
pass or fail.
Yeah.
Well, so that I think is accurate.
Okay.
So the context.
Which part?
That it's a binary. That it's either this or that. The context.
Wait, it's time to talk about bots on Twitter.
The context that I know what torpor is from Vampire the Masquerade.
Okay.
Because if a vampire does not feed for a long enough period of time or loses all of their vitality, they go into torpor, which is sort of like a vampire coma. It's sort of like a vampire coma where they are just, they're non-responsive. And they can come back out of torpor if you feed them, but otherwise they're in torpor. So that is my understanding. Mostly
before,
and I know that the word exists outside of that context, obviously.
Before you chime in, Allison, and fix anything Chris said, this is the first time you've responded to something where I've been like, oh, obviously he 100% knows what it is. Like, that is now my internalized definition of torpor.
So my understanding of torpor is like a really deep sleep or possibly like quasi comatose, but I don't know how accurate that is, but that is my understanding based on where I came into the word. Yes.
Based on vampires and the underworld.
Based on Vampire the Masquerade and White Wolf. Yes. World of Darkness.
You say understanding and I heard factually, this is what it is. Sorry.
Well, I think Chris wins this one. I'm going to give it for Chris. Although no, not. Winners.
Yeah. I know, that's a new twist.
Plot twist. It's similar to hibernation, but it's basically a survival tactic used by animals to survive the winter months, but it's not full on hibernation. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I actually, now that you say that, I know that I've heard it in that context as well. But the first thing that I think of is obviously role-playing.
Obviously, yeah, obviously vampires. But basically like lower heart rate, lower body temperature, just everything.
Which, everything. You know, obviously for vampires, their body temperature is already room temperature.
Yeah.
So it would be like lower is relative. It just depends on—
lower would actually require like expending energy. So. In that case, it probably wouldn't. I'm talking about the physics of vampires. Never mind.
And you get out of torpor by like violent shaking and muscle contractions, which expends energy, but apparently it's not as much, like it's offset by how much energy is actually saved during torpor.
That is a fascinating detail that I didn't know.
So like raccoons and skunks are also like, they also use it to get through the winter.
Oh, I wonder if that's where those raccoons—
as well as vampires.
Vampires. So now I'm wondering, like, if in addition to the squirrels and raccoons and cats down the hill, if there's like a vampire back there.
Yeah, probably.
Almost hibernating.
Probably. No, vampires don't hibernate for the winter. In fact, the winter's probably better.
No, they wouldn't need to.
I think we should start that as the new myth. I've heard
vampires
that
hibernate.
If they hibernate at all,
I am totally going to drop that just as a fact in a call and like play it off like everybody knows vampires are creatures that hibernate.
If vampires hibernated, it would totally be in the summer. Yeah. Because the longer nights in the winter. Mm-hmm. So obviously that and less sunlight. So obviously that is the time when they would be out. And in the summer, it's more sun, so they'd want to like go into hibernation, and then they wouldn't need to worry about their body temperature because the ambient temperature is going to be much higher than in the winter. So
part amphibian.
Yeah. They're cold blooded creatures. They don't.
That's why you see vampires sunning themselves on rocks.
Vampires don't sun themselves on rocks. They drink blood. Allison, that's how they warm themselves.
Really?
It's how they warm themselves. Doesn't last very long. Yes.
Anyway, so if you're feeling lethargic, maybe you just need to.
Maybe you just need to go into torpor. Or.
Maybe we already are.
Become a vampire. Just become a vampire and.
How do you sign up for that?
Become a vampire?
Yeah. What's the canonical way to become a vampire?
You need to find a vampire, and then you get—
well, there's one hibernating down the hill.
Then you get bitten by said vampire.
That's it. So the bite is sufficient.
Shake.
Well, there's some. I suppose there's an exchange of fluids. Like you bite and then you drink some of their blood because you need to also have, you need to be drained and then you need to have some of the vampire blood sort of replenish the blood that you've lost, because obviously your digestive system is the proper way of getting vampire blood into your system. That is the correct way to do it.
I mean, duh.
I guess it would work out eventually, right? Like it'll go down to your kidneys and then go into—
me walking down the hill in the backyard carrying an IV pole. Like, hey, buddy, shaking a vampire.
The only alternative that I know from the movies is you have to go to some sort of vampire rave in the club scene.
See, I feel like that's like a, I don't buy that.
vampire
ring. I don't buy the.
You just don't want to dress up in club garb.
Oh god, you're so right. Fair. You're absolutely that's right. Fair. That's.
Your black.
Maybe with the blue hair, I'll feel more comfortable. Limited. I think all I wear is like. I mean, well, this is blue, but my shirts are all pretty dark t-shirts.
You can't wear branding to a vampire club.
Yeah, and it needs to be like fishnets involved and like leather and spikes.
Yeah, there's no New Balance at the vampire
club. Oh my god. I just got slayed, I think. What are my dad's shoes? Damn, that hurts a little. When I started my most recent job, I'm like, dang, I have a lot of t-shirts from Modern Tribe, and I don't, it'd be kind of weird to show up like, hey, rocking my Modern Tribe t-shirts, you know? So I hopped on Amazon and bought a bunch of like baseball shirts, like with the 3/4 sleeves. Mm-hmm. Like basically like this shirt, like, you know, but different colors. Really loving
called,
that 3/4 sleeve.
Raglan.
I don't know, man. I just looked for like, I'm not even sure how I searched for them, honestly. Pretty happy with the purchase overall.
I really like
4 out of 5 stars.
I really like Raglan shirts, but I don't
Google
get
that.
Plain shirts generally. Like I don't just get boring, like my shirts have things on them and there are
things. These are not boring. How dare you?
There are fewer things. I used to have a couple that I got from the Gap, but they're like ancient and I got rid of them. But there aren't generally Raglan shirts of other varieties. Often, frequently, sometimes there are. And those times I.
If you join more teams, maybe I'll get some.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy more shirts today, aren't I? Damn it.
There's only 7 days a week.
Yeah, but you need to have like 31 shirts at least so you can get yourself through the month.
How do your laundry cycles work?
Well, see, there's a rotation system, right?
Right.
So like, you know, like you wear the shirts and like you put them in the drawer and then you just do the thing that's in front and then like it'll just cycle through. And then when you get
when
you do the laundry,
you do it manually and there's not some sort of like machine that's like,
oh man, if there was a machine, I would use the machine and it would just like I'd open the drawer and it'd pop up, this is your shirt for the day.
In college I was doing laundry and Rhonda, I don't know, called me or something. I'm like, yeah, I'll come over after I finish filing my laundry. I said filing my laundry because that was, you know, logically what I was doing, and that's still referred to this day.
Oh,
like you have some laundry that needs filing.
And now that you've told us, doubly so.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
I mean, I do put my shirts in the drawer as if they were files because I put them in vertically. I learned some like life
hack. Yes.
Yeah, from probably actually Life Hacker or something, where like if you put your shirts in vertically, then you can fit more.
And the other part of that is then like you're not wearing the same like 5 shirts on the top of the pile. You'd be like, I haven't worn that one in a while, or
right,
that is the color I need for this occasion.
Right. And the alternative
on my
to
New
doing
Balance
that,
shoes and go.
The alternative raving. To doing that is pulling everything out and putting the new ones on the bottom, and that's too much work.
Yes, I totally agree. Having said that, I just have mine stacked on a shelf in the closet right now. I got rid of a lot of shirts before we moved, and it wasn't enough. I need to get rid of a lot more t-shirts. I have too many t-shirts. I should get down to like 7, Allison. You're right.
I would say 10.
10 is fine. I have more than 10 right
my,
now.
My issue is that all my clothing is black.
That's a problem?
Well, no, because even the vertical way of stacking, I still can't tell what's what because it's just
that's a good point.
So I'll grab something thinking it's one thing and then being like, oh no, this isn't the t-shirt, this isn't the long sleeve shirt I wanted, and like then I'm fiddling, and all of a sudden it becomes a pile of black clothing on the bed.
I went to go buy some jeans not too long ago, and you know, I went to Target because I don't know, that's what's close by, and thinking like, oh, I don't know what size I wear anymore, I'm gonna try them on. So I grabbed these jeans and marched over to the dressing room, so the big sign that said, sorry, do due to COVID. And I'm like, oh, what an idiot. Like, how did I not realize that would be the case? So I just brought them home. And
that's how you got kicked out of Target for trying stuff on in public.
It was early in the morning. There was no one there. I mean, there was a guy from Amazon there. Oh.
Well, we did our topic reveal already. So it's
torpor.
You don't need to do that torpor. Yeah. So I do have
torpor.
I have
trouble saying that word.
It is. It's a really weird word. The two R's at the end. Torpor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Torpor. But I do have the final game stolen from Critical Role.
Ooh.
This is Marvel character or yoga position.
Okay.
Marvel character or yoga.
So we've done Magic the Gathering character or Kama Sutra position. We've done Marvel character or Jean-Claude Van Damme. This is a Marvel character or yoga position.
Okay.
And some of these are well, it starts off pretty light. I would say.
Don't give us too much credit here.
Spider-Man.
Go Marvel character.
Marvel.
See, I told you. I told you sort of. Okay. Flying Man.
I'm going to go yoga pose.
It is yoga. Firefly.
Yoga. First.
Yoga.
Did you see Allison?
Marvel.
Gary is correct. It is yoga. Devil dinosaur.
I want it to be yoga.
Yoga.
You are both incorrect. It is a Marvel character.
Our dream world. That's the yoga class I want to go to.
Invisible Woman.
Marvel.
Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, the Invisible Man's.
That's when Allison leaves the yoga class. She's doing it.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to imagine what that position would be other than just walking out of the studio.
Walking out.
Wild
Holding
Thing.
Holding up your yoga mat in front of you.
Sorry, what was the next one?
Wild Thing.
Oh, I hope it's yoga.
Marvel.
It is yoga. I've done Wild Thing, or at least I've attempted
it. I'm Googling that right now.
Medusa.
Ooh.
Marvel?
Yeah, Marvel.
It is a Marvel character. Yeah. Bird of Paradise.
Oh. Yoga.
Yoga.
Bird of Paradise is yoga. Cow face.
Yoga.
I was imagining the Marvel character named Cow face.
I'm just like, it's the real bottom of the barrel if that's a Marvel character.
It is a yoga position. The Hood.
Marvel.
Again, like trying to imagine what that would look like in yoga. Just
me covering myself in a blanket.
Something.
The Warrior.
Yoga. Marvel.
Allison is correct. It is a yoga position. Aries.
Marvel
is correct. Last one. Extended puppy.
I want this to be a Marvel. Very long dachshund.
It's the Fantastic Four's guest. It's or Fantastic Four's pet is extended puppy.
It's like a slinky.
Yes. it's like the slinky dog in Toy Story.
Yeah.
I think it's yoga.
You would be correct. Let's see. Just double checking. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wow.
Did we tie?
You tied.
Yes. Gary and I are equals. in battle.
I think we continue to be, right? Were we not last week as well?
You have tied. You didn't tie the WWE wrestler or D&D familiar. I think Allison got that. You tied D&D familiar or some other thing. You... Is that a tie too? You tied the Marvel character or Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
And, that was a tricky one.
And Gary won Magic the Gathering card or Kama Sutra by one. So pretty darn close. Pretty near. That's all I got.
It was it's very cold here last night.
But like cold, like, for Gary standards, or
like in the 20s.
That's actually cold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when Fahrenheit 20, I think it was like 25 when I took the dog out this morning. So, I mean, this is not a surprise to you. And I've experienced this several times before, but like the ground being crispy underfoot to me is very unsettling. Like, I don't like walking across the lawn with the dog while it's crispy like that. Like, it's not how I want to start my day. Even thinking about it makes my feet feel a little weird right now, honestly. It's not like I'm going barefoot or anything, because it's way too cold for that. But still, like, that's a thing.
How do you like being a glasses wearer in the cold?
You know, it actually hasn't bothered me too much. I feel like I got used to it in Florida, because so often you'd like step outside and the humidity would just like, you know, AC's on in like your automobile or your house, and as soon as you step outside, you can't see anyway. So it works out fine. I actually think I probably have better visibility here than I ever did in Florida in summers. I need to go see an eye person.
An eye person?
It's been a while. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the person that pokes them and says, oh, you need, I don't know
who you're seeing. My optometrist does not poke.
Yeah. I don't know that anyone.
I think generally you just have to like read the letters, and then do you not do the, what's the puff of air thing? Glaucoma test. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that not a thing you have to do every time?
Well, I think I've done that before.
I do it, but it's not, I mean, I don't consider it a poke, I guess. Oh. Like, it's very non-invasive.
I feel like between that and dilating pupils, like, mm-hmm. I just like, maybe I'd be better off just being like impaired with my vision for a little while longer. I've talked myself out of setting, making an appointment now.
No, you should go. You need a baseline to normal.
Well, I think eyes is not the logical spot to start. I think I could probably go a lot deeper than that. Vision is definitely baseline of normal.
My baseline, like without eye surgery or extremely painful contact lenses, my baseline is not normal. So that was what I discovered the last time that I did go to the optometrist, was that they couldn't get a prescription that would actually function because my eyes are shaped weird. And then it makes me wonder, like, if I just get like, cause like if I wear sunglasses, or if I wear like just probably plain, like clear, no lens glasses, it helps because it sort of like creates a, like a surface that doesn't have all weird reflections. So I've been wondering if I get like those computer glasses or something, just to have a thing.
Yeah.
The yellow tinted stuff that helps filter out blue light is pretty nice. I don't know if you've ever tried those or not.
I have not. I usually hate colors like that, but.
I think that you
might not notice it.
Pretty quickly you get used to it, yeah. Yeah, and then when you take it off, you're like, dang, why is everything so crisp?
Yeah, I've it's been a thing that I've been thinking about, yeah.
I think I just need some like really big nerdy glasses, like a throwback to like the early space program, you know?
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.